you young people come and join me this morning? I thought maybe all the young people were home in bed or on vacation, swimming in the ocean somewhere. How are you guys doing? Now, I know, well, I don't know all of you, but I bet you maybe one or two of you have gotten in trouble sometimes saying a bad word. Do you know what a bad word is? Don't say it. We all know what bad words are. Sometimes we know what curse words are, and we know that we better not say them, ever. You know, because even your mom and dad don't hear, you know, God hears, and he doesn't like that. So we know what bad words are. But you know what some other bad words are besides some of those curse words? Bad words are things like, oh, you're just a big dummy. You're stupid. You're ugly. Those are bad words too. Did you guys ever think of that? They're just like curse words. Did you think of that? And you know what the Lord tells us? He says that we should use good words when we talk to people. Now, what do you think good words might be?
Yeah.
Hi. Hi is a good word. Yes, it is. Hi is a very good word. But can I be your friend is a good word, or you look nice today, or can I help you? Those are all good words. And that's what the Lord tells us, that we should talk to each other. And you know what? It says that we should talk that way even to our children. And I know sometimes we have moms and dads, and I'm a mom, so I know when I would get frustrated, I did not always have good words to say to my children. I would yell at them sometimes, like if things were not picked up, or if I told them to do something and it had been 2 weeks ago and it wasn't done. Sometimes I would yell, and that isn't good either, and I would have to repent, and I would have to ask the Lord to give me good words. So now, I'm not telling you to tell your parents to do that, okay? That might bring some more bad words. I am telling you to know that what the Lord wants us to do is to have good words each other, okay? Even kids for moms and dads, and moms and dads for kids. And so when we can talk, sometimes it's good for all of us to remind each other of that, okay? So let's bow our heads and pray. Well, Father God, you know that sometimes we use bad words. And they're not just curse words, they're other bad words that make people feel bad and that hurt their feelings. And we pray right now, Father, that you would help us to have good and encouraging words for each other. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Off you go. I don't think we have junior church today. No junior church, but there is goodies. Okay. Now, I may not read the paper every day, but I have to tell you that the one thing I will not miss is the comics. I read the comics every day. And I think my very favorite comic of all time is Calvin and Hobbes, but of course that has gone by the wayside, but there are comics that have really stood the test of time, and really Calvin and Hobbes is kind of that kind of comic. But I was noticing, I was reading, and I mentioned to John the other day, you know, isn't it amazing that Peanuts is such a classic comic, you know, it has stood the test of time. You know, think about Charles Schulz has been gone for umpteen years, and he still entertains us every day, you know, with his wit and really with his wisdom, and all from this classic comic strip that they still publish every day and every Sunday. I'm just amazed by that. Now, one of the classics that kind of illustrates what we're going to talk about today, and I think I could just take Peanuts and just preach from Peanuts for a couple of years, and that would be fine, but this, you know, and I would find enough in there to preach from, but this one has, little Linus has written a comic strip of his own, and he gives it to Lucy to look at, because he wants her to, you know, he wants her opinion, and Lucy reads it, and she starts to smile, and she kind of starts to chuckle, and then she says, "Who wrote this?" And he's real proud, and he said, "I did." And she bowls it up and throws it over her shoulder. She said, "Then I don't think it's funny." And it has him at the very end, you know, he kind of throws his blanket over his shoulder and he walks away and he's mumbling to himself and he says, "Big sisters are the crabgrass in the lawn of life." and it's true, all of us,
have family that are crabgrass in the lawn of our lives. I mean, I believe that. And really, I have to tell you that I myself have been crabgrass in the lawn of their lives on occasion. I occasionally am crabgrass in the lawn of other people's lives. You know, none of us wants to be a loser. None of us want to be the one who reigns on everybody's parade. But it seems like it's the human condition. And if we're not careful, we find ourselves being more pessimistic than optimistic. We find ourselves being the ones that are the discouraging ones instead of the encouraging ones. It's just our tendency, I guess. But yet encouragement is really crucial for Christian living. Encouragement is crucial for healthy human relationships. Encouragement can revive a person who is half dead in their souls. And encouragement, it will help you overcome when you feel overwhelmed. It will help you float when you feel like you're going down for the last time. It will help you be victorious and not a victim. Every one of us needs encouragement. If encouragement is that important, then we need to figure out what we can do to make sure that we are more encouraging than discouraging and more positive than negative. We need to become glass half full people instead of glass half empty or no glass at all people. If encouragement brings hope and strength to people's lives, then we need to figure out what we can do to make for sure that we are encouragers. Now, God, once again, has given us another rule for living in the book of Acts. We're going to look at a particularly gifted encourager this morning by the name of Joe. Now, the first place you find him is in Acts 4:36, and it says, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means sons of encouragement. Okay, that's where he is mentioned first. Now you guessed it, I'm going to talk about Barnabas this morning. But I want you to notice something. I want you to notice that his real name is Joseph. His nickname is Barnabas, son of encouragement. Whenever they saw good old Joe coming, the apostles would say, here comes Barnabas. Here comes son of encouragement. Something about his life caused them to give him that nickname. Now, I'm sure if you gave me nicknames this morning, maybe some of you have, most of them would not be very flattering. And that's okay, because that's the nature of a nickname. Most of the time, nicknames kind of point out something that makes us kind of peculiar, or something that makes us, or that we have that's very unique. Many times, nicknames are kind of like terms of endearment, or like little jokes between friends, and that's what nicknames are supposed to be. When the disciples looked at good old Joe, they said, here's Barnabas, son of encouragement. Now, inquiring minds want to know, what was it about his life that made them give him that nickname? Well, the first clue is in Acts 4:36 and 37. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. So Barnabas sells a piece of land, he gives the money to the church, and they distribute it to those in need. Now, some believe that the early church was a commune, that the church was a commune in the beginning. I don't agree with that. But I do believe that the church had a very caring approach to the faith. The church, the early church, I believe, had a mi casa es tu casa way of doing church. And Barnabas shows us that the first characteristic of a good encourager is that an encourager is generous. Encouragers live what we say every week when we dedicate our offering, that what we have really doesn't belong to us. It all belongs to God. A good encourager recognizes that God basically has blessed them with this stuff so that they can spread it around. Yeah, that's what a good encourager recognizes. Barnabas freely gave. If you want to encourage somebody, do something tangible for them. If you really want to encourage somebody, do something visible. That's why our prayer shawl ministry is so important. It's one thing to pray for someone, and we do that. But to give them something they can hold in their hands, to remind them that someone is praying for them, you know, that is going the extra mile. You know, over the years, I figured out that there are two ways that you can show what's important to you. Where we spend our money and how we spend our time. Those are the ways that we can figure out what is most important to us. Haddon Robinson said, if you want to see what's important to a person, look at their checkbook register. I hope he could read mine. But here's the second characteristic of an encourager. In Acts 9, there is a key event. Paul gets converted. Paul gets saved. And instead of being a persecutor, he becomes a supporter of the church. This is a big turnaround. So as a result, his own life is in danger. In Acts 9:20, it says, at once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on his name, call on this name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests? Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. Okay, now, eventually, the Jews conspired to kill Paul. But his followers, we know the story, they took him at night and they lowered him in a basket outside the wall, through an opening in the wall, they lowered him in a basket. And Paul went to join the disciples in Jerusalem, and they were afraid of him. They didn't want anything to do with him. They couldn't believe that he had truly become a disciple. Now, put yourself in Paul's shoes. Okay, he was one time he was a Jew of Jews, you know, a Pharisee of Pharisees. He gave all that up, all the cushy life, he gave that up. He's proclaiming the gospel. People are coming to Christ. And at his moment of need, when he needs refuge in Jerusalem, he can't get in. The apostles won't take him. Now, the apostles had a point, too. You know, think about Paul's wife, who was holding the coats at the death of the first martyr, Stephen. That's Paul. Acts 8 says Saul began ravaging the church. Acts 9 says that he breathed threats and murder against the disciples. The disciples had a reason to be afraid of this guy. And notice who comes to his rescue. Acts 9:27. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. Good old Joe. Barnabas told them how Saul met the Lord on his journey, how the Lord had spoken to him, how in Damascus he was preaching the gospel. Barnabas told them all that. They believed Barnabas. They weren't going to believe Paul. Barnabas gives us another clue about his nickname. It's the second characteristic of an encourager. Encouragers are willing to accept you where you are and help you get to where you need to be. You see, an encourager is the kind of a person who doesn't look down their nose at you, who doesn't look at your reputation and your past. Because you know what encouragers realize? Encouragers realize that none of us came to Christ with a stellar record. Encouragers realize that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Encouragers realize that all are new creations in Christ Jesus. And because of that, an encourager can pick someone up from anywhere they are and help that person get to where they need to be. No one would help Paul except for Barnabas. Now think about that. We may not have half of the New Testament if it wasn't for Barnabas being there for Paul. Now, a third characteristic of an encourager is found in Acts 11. Because of the death of Stephen, the church dispersed. They were running for their lives. Gentiles, and they spread out. Gentiles were getting saved. And verse 19 and following says, now those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen travel as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. Some of them, however, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to the Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Now, what it says next is that news of that reached Jerusalem. This is big news, okay? They realize in Jerusalem, we need a follow-up program for these people. They had never had this problem before, and now all of a sudden they find themselves having, you know, they need to minister to Gentiles. So guess what their follow-up program was? Barnabas. They sent Barnabas to Antioch. Good old Joe. They knew they could count on him. Now remember, Barnabas wasn't going to have any trouble ministering to the Gentiles because he didn't hold your past against you. He didn't look at your past. That was Barnabas. They knew they could count on him not being prejudiced. Do you know what a new believer needs more than anything when they first start their walk with God? It's encouragement. That's what they need. They don't need to be told how they fall short. And that's just what Barnabas did. When he got there, he witnessed to the grace of God. He began to encourage them to remain true to the Lord. He rejoiced. He got all excited about their progress. The third characteristic of a good encourager is that they get excited when others do well. When they see somebody growing in the Lord, they get all excited about it. There's no envy, no jealousy. You know, when I was growing in the Lord, someone got real excited about my progress and gave me strength to go on when the going got tough. Now, a good encourager has a fourth characteristic. They are team players. Notice what happens in Acts 11:24. He, Barnabas, was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. Now think about how odd that is. All of a sudden, the church is booming. We would think, I would think, let's raise up lay leaders. Let's have three services on a Sunday. Barnabas leaves and goes to look for Paul. And when he found Paul, they both went to Antioch, and for an entire year, they met with the church and they taught new Christians. The fourth characteristic of a good encourager is that their major goal is to meet a need, even when they're not the best ones to do it. An encourager never is out to make a name for themselves, only to glorify God. Barnabas knew that Paul had gifts that he didn't have. Barnabas knew that Paul had gifts that the church really needed at that time, and that he was really, really better at it than he knew that he was. He knew the church needed to be fed. And he pulled those two together because, you see, Barnabas was a team player. A good encourager is what they call today a networker, always looking to see who can do the best job to fill the need. Encouragers are content to sit in the back seat and let somebody else drive if that's what brings God glory. We call it being a servant. Now here's one more quality found in Acts 15:36 for an encourager. Suddenly, Paul and Barnabas decide to go back and visit the churches that they had planted. But there was a little problem, and that little problem was John Mark. Paul suggested to Barnabas, you know what, let's go back and visit the brethren in every city where we planted churches, in every city where we preached. Barnabas wanted to take John Mark, but Paul didn't want anything to do with John Mark. Paul insisted that they should not take him along, because he had deserted them in Pamphylia. Now, the disagreement was so intense that they separated. And Barnabas took John Mark with him to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas, and he went another way. You see, Mark had deserted them on their first missionary journey. Notice what the fifth characteristic of an encourager is. They are the kind of people that are willing to give you a second chance. An encourager realizes that one failure does not mean total failure. An encourager is one who says, try again. And that's exactly what Barnabas did for Mark. He gave him a second chance, and it turned out awesome. Encouragers like Barnabas are always willing to give a second chance. You know, every day in life, you and I are just trying to do our best. And there are days when a word of encouragement would decide whether we sink or swim. And not only can it make that big of a difference in our own lives, but it can make the same difference in the lives of others around us. So we need to pay attention to these lessons from good old Joe, the encourager. Be generous. Accept others where they are. Get excited when others do well. Be a team player. And always give others a second chance. Now, when we follow these rules for living in Acts, we will never be the loser. We will never rain on anyone's parade. And, for sure, we will avoid being the crabgrass in the lives of those whom we love and others around us. And that's a good goal. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, you know our hearts. And you know that we are not always the encourager. We are not always the one that people look to be strengthened and lifted up during times of trial. And there are times when our words are not good words. We pray, Father God, that you would forgive us. That you, Lord God, would give us a second and a third and a fourth chance and umpteen chances, Lord. So that through your Holy Spirit, we might get it right this time. Change our hearts. Make us people who are filled with hope and that have words of encouragement for others. For we pray in the name of the one who makes it possible, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Please stand for the benediction.
Don't forget Al's at my house on Thursday. Everybody is invited. You ought to bring a chair, probably. Would be good. Our benediction is taken from the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 1 and following. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Holy Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but the interests of others. Amen.